Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Your copy of the Word of God, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 23. Jeremiah and chapter number 23. We are continuing with our series in the book of Jeremiah, where we're dealing with the subject of a weeping prophet to a backslidden nation. And that we could see that Jeremiah has been preaching for over 25 years at this point. Remember, we're taking the book of Jeremiah in chronological order, the way that it happened in history. And we've been tracing as Jeremiah was called to preach, and as God has told them that, you go ahead and preach, they're not going to listen to you. And we watch the effects of Jeremiah preaching. We've seen many object lessons, many things that God is doing. And now we're getting to the place where the shadow of the Babylon Empire is looming closer and closer. We're getting to the place where the destruction of Jerusalem at 586 BC is right around the corner. And we see that what is hastening the effects, the judgment, is the false preachers, the people that are turning away from God, people who are having their own ideas rather than following what God has clearly said for them to do. We see, as God himself has used Jeremiah and earlier in this chapter in Jeremiah 23 to rebuke the shepherds. And we saw earlier in this chapter that we saw the evil shepherds presented. We saw the good shepherds, that God would provide good shepherds. He promised that there would. And then we ended up seeing the great shepherd. And I'm glad that we have a great shepherd that we could follow. God is continuing the same idea of rebuking these evil shepherds and witnessing what they're doing in Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, as we go through this today, I want to remind you that there's no biblical book that is a better reflection of the type of Christianity that we live in today than the book of Jeremiah. Today, we have a type of Christianity that is not pleasing to God. We have a lot of people that want to do their own thing. They want to worship God in their own way and expect God to be pleased with it, and he is not. And that one day when judgment comes, the Christians inside of our nation, or those that are professing to be Christians, are going to say, what happened? What occurred? Well, all they have to do is turn to the book of Jeremiah, and they can see exactly what happened. They could see exactly what brought them to this place now. If you don't mind, we're going to continue with this message that God had already started and that we had mentioned on Sunday morning. Look with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're going to start in verse number 9. Jeremiah 23 in verse 9, the Word of God says this: mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They have prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For their prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after their own imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? That thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? The burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23? The book of Jeremiah chapter 23, and notice with me at the end of verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 9, notice the phrase, the words of his holiness. The words of his holiness. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message with that title, The Words of His Holiness. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today, I'm just asking for a special measure of your power, that we would have wisdom, that we would have discernment, that we would understand what biblical preaching is. We would understand the folly of preaching that is not from you, that is not your word, that we would have clear understanding and discernment, that everyone would have it for themselves. Because of this is such a serious and important subject, this is something that we all need to know for ourselves. I recognize my own inability. So the best I know how, I ask that you fill me with your precious spirit. I ask that you be with my words, my mind, my thoughts, my ambitions, my goals. I die to them all and ask that you fill me with your spirit, that you would do your own precious work through your word tonight in an amazing way, that you would be a help to these folks, that you would help them to have a biblical response to what biblical preaching is. I need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The words of His Holiness. Now, this whole subject is dealing with the Word of God, specifically the preaching of God's Word. And so before we go on, I think it's always good to define our terms. So that way we're on the same page. So that way you know what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to get across. We understand that in simplistic forms, the idea of preaching means that we're going for the place of decision. That preaching is giving information for the purpose of bringing people to a place of decision. That's what preaching is. Preaching is, I'm declaring God's word. I'm saying something important. I'm preaching to you with a purpose that you are to make a decision based off the information given to you. That's just simply what preaching is. In addition, there is a difference between preaching and biblical preaching. Let me define my terms once again. We understand that preaching is bringing people to the place of decision. Biblical preaching is bringing people to the place of decision by using God's word. That the goal of biblical preaching is that people would know more of the Bible when we're done, as well as make a biblical decision. Now, we understand that there are many good preachers that you know and that I know that are not Bible preachers. They're good pastors, they're good preachers, they're people that give good information, and they bring people to the place of decision. And that sometimes they even come to the place where they use Bible verses. They may even use a lot of Bible verses, but that's not necessarily Bible preaching. See, we're trying to clarify what we mean. That they may use Bible verses to help back up what they're saying. But as for me, what God has specifically brought me to the place to is Bible preaching, where we use the Word of God and walk through the Word of God, that we read the text, we explain the text, and we apply the text. And that we let God's Word do its own work. And so what we're explaining tonight is the difference between Bible preaching and what someone else may sometimes do of saying what's on their heart. And I'm going to use that expression because the Bible uses that expression. But we want to have clear discernment about what Bible preaching is and what Bible preaching is not. Now remember the context that God is rebuking the evil shepherds. He's rebuking the preachers who have been leading the people astray for many, many years through their preaching, through their teaching, through the things that they've been doing. And God is correcting it and saying, this is wrong, this is the effects, and this is what's right. And so if you don't mind, as we examine the idea of biblical preaching, the words of His Holiness, the first thing I want to show you from this text is the problem with their preaching. The problem with their preaching. Now God goes off and He points specifically within this passage several things that is wrong with their preaching. Notice with me if you don't mind in verse number 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. Now whenever God comes to the place where He makes a description like this, He says, I've seen in Jerusalem a horrible thing. You know that a horrible thing is about ready to be mentioned. That God is saying, this is wrong, this is horrible, this is awful. What is it? I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. The first thing that we see wrong with their preaching is that they have immoral lifestyles themselves. They have immoral lifestyles themselves. You understand that we live in a type of world where people will call themselves a pastor. People will call themselves a preacher, that they'll write a book, they'll have a platform, they'll have a website, they'll have YouTube, they'll have all kinds of things where they give religious messages. But one of the problems is that they have immoral lifestyles themselves. And what's going to happen because of their immoral lifestyles, it is very hard to preach against adultery when you're in the middle of adultery. It is very hard to name sins that you are currently engaged in. And so when you're not preaching on your sins, then you start preaching on nobody's sins. What happens is that people start saying, well, there's a lot of negative in the Bible, but there's a lot of positive. So you know what we'll do is that we'll insinuate the positive. And that we want you to feel good about yourself. And so what they'll do is they'll have a type of preaching that pats people on the head. They'll have a lot of preaching that is self-help, but very little preaching on sin. Very little preaching on this is wrong. And part of it is because they do not want to give up their sin. And when it's exposed, you know what happens? A lot of people turn away from church. They turn away from God's word because they say, look at those hypocrites over there. That causes a big problem of why people do not want to follow the word of God. When you know that guy over there is full of sin, why in the world do you want to listen to him when you know what he is doing? And so the first thing that's wrong with their preaching is not necessarily what they're saying at the time. It's the immoral lifestyles that they have, that it does not back up the message of the word of God. Notice something else, if you don't mind, that we see the immoral lifestyles, but notice as we dive into what they're preaching about, notice with me in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, one of the problems with these folks' preaching is that I'm not saying that they're not well-intentioned. There's many of them that are good. There's many of them that believe that they're trying to do their best. But the problem is that they preach what God has laid on my heart. You understand, Jeremiah has already dealt with this, or rather God has, that he said something about the heart, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you understand our heart is wicked? Do you know our hearts will lie to us? And you understand you can't trust your own heart. You can't trust your own feelings. You can't trust some of the things that comes deep within you. You know, instead of saying, I was just walking one day and I saw a butterfly going, oh, and there was such a feeling over there. And I don't want to tell you about rainbows today. It would be much better if they declared, this is what the Bible said. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The problem is that they say, I got something on my heart that I got to tell you. And they don't give anything about God's word. That is a big problem. They've got to deliver God's word instead of saying what's on God's heart. It is awful to go and see such a thing as a Christian bookstore. I usually go to Christian bookstores just to get mad. But what happens is they got all these self-help books. They've got all these good things about how to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, how to keep your smile and all this other stuff. And you know what? You could go and look at those books and you can't find anything about Jesus. You can look through there and you can't find any Bible verses. All it is a self-help book that has Christian on it, trying to tell people to read. And they're not saying, this is what the Bible says. They're not tying people back to the Bible. You understand? I understand that even today we've got a vocabulary problem. And sometimes even a good meaning preacher will say, I want to give you a message that God has laid on my heart. I don't want to hear a message on your heart. I want to hear the word of God. That is the difference between Bible preaching, is that we're trying to see what the Bible has to say. Because we know that even the good intention, even the best of us, our heart is wicked. It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. It would be better off to give people the Word of God, because the Word of God is sure. The Word of God will not fail. And the Word of God is what people need. Notice something else as we see the problem with their preaching, that they have immoral lifestyles themselves and they're not going to preach on sin, especially their own sin, that they speak from their own heart and not from the Lord. Notice with me in verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me. Now, some people may object to what I just said earlier, but preacher, these people over here, you just don't like good messages. You don't like feel good messages. No, it's not that I'm against feel good messages. I'm against messages that don't have the Word of God. And you say, but, well, hold on. Notice with me, verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me. Notice these preachers are talking to people that hate God. They say still unto me that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they shall say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You understand what happens today? What is wrong with their preaching is that people can walk into that door who's been living in sin all during the week, and they get patted on the head. God loves you. God likes you as you are. And by the way, that is a truth. God does love us. He even likes us, but he hates sin, and he hates all sin. And there are consequences for sin. And so what happens is that these folks will come in that are living horrible lives. They'll walk into a mega church. They'll walk into a new evangelical church. They'll walk into any kind of church. And a preacher will pat them on the head. I'm glad to see you. God loves you. And they insinuate God's love, but not his justice, not his holiness, not his righteousness. And the people feel, God loves me as I am. And they walk out the door and continue to live the same life that they walked in with no changes, except they think that God approves of their lifestyle. And that is not true. The Bible talks about this twice in the book of Jeremiah. We've already talked about it. That they have healed the hurt of my daughter slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. You understand that what is being referred to here is what is called a slight Christianity. That people are slightly religious. That people are slightly Christian. And they say, because I call myself a Christian, I can live however I want and God accepts me. And that type of preaching doesn't help people. It does not draw them closer to the Lord. It does not fix the things that are going on, because there is always, always, always consequences for sin. You understand that as a pastor, the most loving thing I can do for you is to tell you the truth. The most loving thing I can do is to point out that is sin. Stay away from that. But as long as people feel like they could sin and get away with it, they will not turn from their wicked ways. And that is the problem with the type of preaching that we have in America. You say, I don't believe you. Well, turn on TBN, turn on Trinity, turn on one of those things. Not long. Turn it on just for a second. And then turn it back off. You'll see exactly what I'm saying. That I'm not making this up. But this is exactly what they're doing here and now. Just like they did in Jeremiah's day. And they're not preaching on sin. They're not bringing people closer to the Lord. But what they're doing is they're patting people on the head. And they're saying, you are fine as you are. And they're not getting changed. What else is wrong with their preaching? We understand that they have immoral lifestyles. We understand that they're preaching from their own heart and not from the Word of God. We understand that they make those that even hate God feel like they're accepted of them. Again, that's a powerful thing. They say unto them that despise me. You understand, if someone comes in here who hates God, sits down in a church service and walks out and say, I'm good with God, that is a problem. Notice something else in verse 21. I have not sent these prophets. You know, another problem with them is that God didn't even send them in the first place. Notice what it says. I have not sent them, yet they ran. I had not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Notice that phrase, yet they ran. God says, I didn't call them to preach. But what happened is they said, oh, I can't wait to preach. Hey, me. I got something. I got a word of my heart. And I've got to just tell you what God has told me. And that's a problem. God didn't call them to preach. What happens is that they go to sleep and they don't tell anybody they had too much pepperoni pizza and they get a vision. And they wake up the next day and say, God has given on my heart to build another hospital. Please give unto me money so I could build this hospital. And when about $50 million is given to there, oh, God didn't tell me to build the hospital. And then he gets investigated by the IRS and stuff for tax fraud again. By the way, I'm not making that up. You understand? Some preacher, recent current events, God has told me that I don't need to fly on coach no more. You got to give me $54 million so I can get my own jet so I don't have to ride with those devils anymore. No. God didn't call them. God did not give them that. You have old Robert Schuller back in the day with the Crystal Cathedral. He gives an old testimony that said, I got to preach to thousands of people the next day. And I didn't know what I was going to preach. So I was sitting back watching TV. That's a good way to study for a message, right? So, and in the midst of it, while I was watching the TV, an angel appeared. And he said, Robert Schuller, this is what I want you to tell the people tomorrow. And the angel gave him the message. And he said, the angel disappeared. And he went back to watching TV. No! That's not how it works. Absolutely not. God didn't call those folks, but they ran. I can't wait to tell you what God has laid on my heart. You know, people use that a lot. And they use it as kind of that you can't argue with them. But this is what God has given me. No, what does the Bible say? We got to look for what the Bible says. Again, we're just covering what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. This is what the text says. This is what God is accusing those folks of doing. What is wrong with their preaching? That they have the immoral lifestyles. That they speak from their own heart, not from the Lord. That they make those that even those that hate God feel like good about their sins. We understand they weren't even sent by God. Notice this, if you don't mind, in verse number 25. I have heard what the prophet said. That prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. Here, they mix their dreams, and if you want to put in parentheses, their thoughts and their opinions into their message. You understand that... The problem is they put their own thoughts and their own opinions, and then they'll try to find a Bible verse every now and again to help back that up. We're not supposed to preach my thoughts and my opinions. We're supposed to preach what the Bible says. Do you understand? You could take the Bible out of context and teach anything you want. If I took the Bible out of context, I could teach you tonight that we're supposed to all commit suicide after the message. But that's if I take the Bible out of context. Context is key. And you understand, we need to preach what the Bible clearly says. Not what I feel. Not what I think. But we have to preach, thus saith the Lord. You understand, your heart is wicked and deceitful. The Bible says here that these people, I have dreamed a dream. Remember, I just got through talking about the guys who, I had a dream last night that I'm supposed to build a hospital. Or I saw an angel or whatever else and I had dreamed a dream. Half of that's pepperoni pizza. Stop. Go back to bed. Preach the Bible. Preach what the Bible says. That people are not interested in the preacher's thoughts. They're not interested in the people's feelings if they need help. When they need help, they need the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that must be delivered. It's the Word of God that they need. So as we examine part of this passage, the first thing that we saw is that the problem with their preaching that God points out and said, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. If you don't mind, let's carry it a step further and let's see the effects of their preaching. The effects of their preaching. So what happens when you get preaching nonsense like that? What happens when you have the wrong type of preaching? What happens? What are the effects? What is the fallout? Well, notice with me in verse number 17. Jeremiah 23 and verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say, everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Now, we touched upon this before, but we see the effects of it, that with this type of false preaching, that what occurs is that it takes away holy living. That false preaching takes away holy living. That people don't get closer and closer to the Lord. They no longer live for the Lord. But what happens is that their sin becomes more and more accepted. And you know what we have today is a bunch of Christianity that doesn't match what the Bible says. And because it doesn't match what it says, there is no difference in our lifestyle. You understand? The biggest evidence that biblical preaching works is the evidence of a changed life. The world doesn't need a cheap imitation of itself. It's looking for something that is different. Something that is different. You understand? Let me also put a little thing in here. That as Christians, we are not better than anyone else. We are different. We are different. You understand that if I'm following the Lord and the world is going this way, we're not going the same direction. We're not going the same place. We are going in different directions, and I will be different if I'm following the Lord. I will stand out. And that's the problem, is that people don't like to stand out. They don't want to be different. And so they have the watered down messages. You understand that every time false doctrine gets involved, that people's holiness, their living for the Lord, the practicality does not increase, it decreases. It's amazing to see how many people graduated from a Bible college, a good Bible college, and a couple years' time, their standards have gone down because they've accepted false preaching. They've changed what they believe. They went away from the Bible. They went to their own thoughts and their own opinions. And it is evidenced by the lack of holy living that they have. You know, if someone actually came up and said, I have something different in my life that you teach, and their life is holier, their life is closer to the Lord, not false, but they're actually closer with the Lord, I might actually listen. We're still going to judge what the Bible says, but you understand that evidence of a changed life backs up the message of the Bible. When we talk about that we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, part of that testimony is how my life is different since I've known the Lord. People are looking for something that's different. And if we're following the Lord, there will be a difference. That is part of the problem with the Christianity today, with the Bible preaching today, is that because it doesn't emphasize holy living, it just says, you do whatever you want, God loves you, people don't change. And now they're not helped. Now we have a society that doesn't even care about what Christians think, because there's no difference. There's no holiness. There's nothing that affects them. If you could forgive the personal illustration, when I pastored in Jackson, Tennessee, they had a law that was getting on the ballot of the county that was going to allow grocery stores to sell liquor. Now, up in Greenway, Wisconsin, that's not a big deal. But down south, we were still behind the trend. We were not allowing alcohol to be sold inside of grocery stores. We still had, I just forgot what they're called, the wine-type stores, the box stores, the package stores type thing. And so an amazing letter, I still have it, was sent to me by one of the liquor stores. And it was sent to every church inside of the county that said all the evils of alcohol and why all of the alcohol should not be expanded, why we should not allow it to grow grocery store. Now, we understand they just didn't want the grocery stores to put them out of business. But their idea was if every Christian voted like a Christian, this law would not pass. And they sent this letter to all the churches to encourage the people to vote like Christians. And you can guess how the story ends. The law did pass. You understand, this is the Bible Belt. You know, in Knox County, there are 350,000 people. And you want to know how many Baptist churches they have? 350. One for every 1,000. There's a church on every corner. Now, we understand not all of them believe. That's part of the problem, is that they have wrong preaching too. But you understand that people don't care what Christians think anymore, because there's no holiness in our lives. There's no closeness with the Lord. And that is some of the effects of bad preaching that we're now reaping today, is that there is no difference. And the Bible speaks about that quite a bit, that there's no difference. And that's one of the number one reasons why judgment comes upon a nation, is because of God's people, that there are no difference in those that claim to be God's people. And that's why judgment comes. Notice, if you don't mind, something else that we see. Verse number 27. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. A second effect that we see because of bad preaching is that their preaching takes people's thoughts away from God. That it gets to the place where people don't even think about the Lord on a daily basis. They show up to church all the time, but beyond Sunday morning, they don't think about Christ at all. They don't think about the Lord at all. Their thoughts are brought further away from God. That's shown in the Bible several different times. But that's what the type of preaching does. When it's self-help. Again, you go into those Christian bookstores and you find a book. Try to find the name of Jesus in some of those books. There's nowhere to be found. You understand, I can't get help outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when his name's not mentioned, when his name's not there, there is a problem. You understand, with Bible type, with unbiblical type preaching, it doesn't matter what type of church you go to, whether it's Methodist, whether it's Bible church, whether it's a Baptist church. This is a thing that goes through all of them. You understand how many messages, even on a Wednesday night, they don't even mention the name of Jesus? That's a problem. All Bible messages always point to the Lord. That's where we get our help. That's Bible messages. Any messages that don't lift us close to the Lord is wrong. We should be thinking more about the Lord. We should be closer to the Lord. We should have a desire to get closer to Him because of good preaching. But other type of preaching puts the emphasis on ourselves. And we're looking so much at us and our problems and our issues and how we're going to get through it, that we're not even looking at the Lord. It should be all about Him. You understand, good Bible preaching doesn't even emphasize the preacher. That I don't want you looking at me, I want you looking at the Lord. Everyone should be looking the same thing. Look at Him. Look at Him. That all we're doing is reflecting Him, Him, Him. But that's the type of preaching that we have today, is that people can go into a church service and hear a little sermonette from a preacherette smoking a cigarette, and it doesn't bring them closer to the Lord. They walk out and say, that's good stuff, and they walk out. You won't understand how ridiculous things have gotten in our Christianity, is that they have something called the Atheist Church down in Nashville now. And what the atheists have said is that we love the church type environment. We like the songs that encourage people. And we like messages that lift people up. We just don't want to have name of Christ. And so what we're going to do is that we're going to set up something just like you guys have, meaning to the false preaching type churches. And you understand, you could walk into their church and hear an encouraging message and sing uplifting songs, and not even notice that the name of Jesus wasn't even mentioned there. But that's how they designed it. They want that type of meeting. And they said it looks just like the y'all's church. That's a problem. That is a big problem. You understand that if an atheist comes in here, we want to tell them their need of Jesus Christ, and that they need to be presented to the idea that they're a sinner, and because of their sin, they've offended a holy, righteous God, and they deserve an awful place called hell. But the good news is that Jesus died for them, and that if they would ask him, he would forgive them of all of their sins, full, free, and forever. There's good news, but we have to tell them the bad news first. We don't gather here just to get an encouraging message. Now, I hope that you are encouraged, and we call Wednesday night the most encouraging service of the week. But the encouragement comes as we get closer to the Lord. That's where we get our encouragement. The Bible talks about that the joy of the Lord is my strength. We need the joy of the Lord. We need to be pointed to Christ. Notice, if you don't mind, something else that we see here. Notice in verse number 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. You know what happens with bad preaching, unbiblical preaching? Is that the preaching actually causes people to know less about God's word, and it confuses them. You understand that good Bible preaching is going to teach us doctrine. It's going to teach us, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about the Bible? What does the Bible say about salvation? You could go up to some of those folks who've been in church for years. Hey, what is the doctrine of salvation? God saves people? Well, how do you get saved? And they can't tell you. That's a problem. What does the Bible say about last things? What does the Bible say about the rapture? What does the Bible say about the second coming of Jesus Christ? What does the Bible say about justification, sanctification? What does the Bible say about propitiation? You understand, these are things that we should know. These are things that Bible preaching will teach, that people will know what the doctrine says. What does the Bible say about this? You understand, as biblical people, we should always be in a biblical defensible position, that whatever we say and whatever we do should be able to be backed up with an open Bible. People don't know their Bibles today, and it's because of preaching that is not biblical. You understand, you could tell people that they're good all you want. You know, it's funny that I talk to some of those preachers. And I deal with people all the time. Those same preachers that say, God is love, Jesus is love. And I say, what is that verse? I don't know. Well, you tell people every week that God is love, Jesus is love. Where is it in the Bible? By the way, it's in 1 John. I'll let you know that. But you understand, they don't know the answer. And those are the preachers. People need to know what the Bible says, and Bible preaching should bring people to the place that they know what the Bible says. By the way, can you show me from the Bible how you know for sure that you're going to heaven? That should be the very most basic thing. Can you open up the Bible and say, this is how I know I'm going to heaven? Not because I said a prayer, not because I feel like I'm going to heaven. You should have a Bible reason for why you think you're going to heaven. You should have a Bible reason of why you're going to this church. You should have a Bible reason why you pray, why you read your Bible. You should have a Bible reason for everything we do. It's called a biblically defensible position. And we need to know what the Bible says. That good Bible preaching will tie people to the Bible. By the way, that's why I preach the way that I do. I very rarely leave a text. I usually take one text and I walk through it. Why? Because I want you to know the text. And that by the time I finish preaching, that you wrote notes and you go back and read it. And guess what? It's going to say the very same thing that I said, because the Bible doesn't change. This is what the Bible said. I want to preach in such a way that you know more of the Bible walking out of here, that you're better equipped, that you know more of God's word. In fact, I want to preach in such a way that you say, I want to go read it for myself and go study it out. That's the type of preaching we should have. But without that type of preaching, people know less and less about the Bible. And in fact, they get confused. They don't know what the Bible says. So it's no wonder that people can come in and confuse them. For example, you remember several years ago, you had all those billboards that said the world is going to end, that Jesus is coming back on March 31st or whatever it was. And people believed them. It's because people didn't know what the Bible said. You want to know why cults get church people to join them? It's because they don't know what the Bible says. And that's that's silly. And by the way, that's not just any church, it's Baptist churches too. I know many people who sat in Baptist churches for 30 years and don't know anything of what the Bible said. That's because they don't have Bible preaching. They need to see what the Bible says. So notice as we go on, let's see what else the effects of their preaching. Notice with me in verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Notice this, it causes people to err in living for the Lord, first of all, by lies. You understand that people, because they're not teaching the Bible, they teach whatever they want. And they could get people to follow after lies and let people believe in lies. And people say, well, my pastor says it's all right for me to do this. Well, what does the Bible say? I don't know. Need to know what the Bible has to say about this. But not only their lies, notice this, their lightness. The word lightness carries the idea of taking in vain, making things light in vain. You want to watch me go ballistic? You show me a t-shirt. I just saw one the other day and it's about... those Heinz mustard bottles? It had the Heinz mustard bottle, and then it had something about Jesus Christ on it. And they had the other one that was green that looked like the relish thing. That's making light of our Savior? And most Christians think that's fine. And it is not. The Bible is very clear on that. You understand, Jesus is not JC. He is my Lord and my Savior. He is the soon coming King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what has happened is that people have got to the place where they view Christ as something less than God. You understand, a lot of people see Jesus as just a tiny little baby in a manger. And that's all they see Jesus. Well, who's afraid of a tiny little baby? There are some people that see Jesus as the white hippie milquetoast guy. And that's, by the way, that's not how he looked at all. But who's afraid of some white, effeminate, weak kind of guy? Who's going to listen to him? Some people only see Jesus as the guy who's up on the cross, the suffering Savior. And you pity him more than fear him. You understand, he is God. And he is the guy that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is King. He is Lord. He is God. And that this type of foolish preaching makes people think light of God. You understand, Jesus is not an advertisement and he is not a t-shirt. He is not my friend that I hang out with, though he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is God. And the type of preaching makes us to take light of spiritual things. Take light of the Bible. Take light of God. Take light of Jesus. And that is a big deal. And the people don't even realize it's a big deal with the foolishness that they're involved in. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 36, we're still seeing the effects of this, their preaching. Notice verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Notice this word burden. The word burden is used twice in this verse. What is happening in the context is that, you know how people say, well, God has laid this on my heart. They've also used the phrase, well, God has put a burden on me. He has told me this. Now, the word burden here is the same Hebrew word that has two different meanings. That the first meaning means the idea of an oracle. It means the idea of a burden of our lips. It's an idea that God has given me his word. I've gotten a word from the Lord. And the second thing here is the idea of a burden of the shoulder, meaning like a weight or something on here. So if you're going to look at this passage and look at it with an idea, and the burden of our lips of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall become his burden, that weight on the shoulders. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord our host. this idea in this context, God is saying, don't say you got a burden from the Lord. Don't say you got a word from the Lord. Remember, our charismatic friends, whenever they speak in tongues, they are actually claiming that they received a word from the Lord. You understand that God has not given us any more revelation. The Bible is closed. This is all the word that he has given. But they put the idea that the revelation they just received is just as equal as the word of God. And that is very dangerous. And what has happened is because they've got a word from the Lord, it is now putting more of a burden on their shoulders that God never intended them to have. And this is dangerous. It is very awful. It's keeping them away from what the Bible says, and it keeps them away from being close to the Lord. And so as we examine this passage, that this passage is dealing with false preaching. And it's dealing with the idea of the false preaching that they have. We have seen the effects of the false preaching. But there's one more thing I'd like to show you here, and that is the proper form of preaching. The proper form of preaching. Now, I understand this is a longer passage and this requires some more preaching, but this is something we all need to understand and discern for ourselves, because you understand you can know what good preaching is and you should be able to identify it. You should be able to say that is Bible preaching and be able to say that is nonsense. We should be able to discern that. And the Bible says that we can. Notice, if you don't mind, as we examine this, what is good preaching? What is Bible preaching? What is the proper form of preaching? Notice with me in verse 22 again. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. We understand that, first of all, Bible preaching should change lives. Bible preaching shall change lives. Notice, in fact, if you don't mind, in verse number 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? You know, this idea carries the idea you should be noteworthy. There should be things that you write down. There should be the type of preaching that we have should change lives, and not only change lives, but it should bring us to the place where we learn more about God's word. We always encourage people to write down things. That's why we give people Christian Life journals, so they could write down notes. As a preacher, I have a responsibility to give you something noteworthy. I have a responsibility to give you something tangible that you could write down, that you could look up and study for yourself. That Bible preaching should change lives. Now, that other one is free. Bible preaching should change lives. That because of the preaching of God's word, that people should make a decision to follow after him. Maybe it's a message on Bible reading. That someone should say at the end of it, I should read my Bible more. This is what I'm going to do about it. Message about soul winning. Well, God wants me to tell more people about the Lord. This is what I'm going to do about it. God wants me to forsake these sins. So this is what I'm going to do about it. God wants me to live a life, and this is the changes that I need to make in my life. This is what I'm going to do about it. Bible preaching, remember, the basic form of preaching is to bring people to the place of decision. Bible preaching is using the word of God to bring people to the place of decision. That Bible preaching should change people's lives. You understand? Some people don't like what is called the invitation. Many times I've had people come up to me and said, we love your history and we love your science. You know, the one thing that we hate is that invitation. They said, preacher, you would have a lot more people inside of the church if you would stop giving an invitation. That's a quote from someone. That's a problem. Bible preaching should always change people's lives. You understand, knowledge puffeth up. That if we just add knowledge and do nothing about it, it hurts us. Every time we hear the word of God, we are responsible to do something with it. Every time. Which brings me my second thing, dealing with the idea of the proper form of preaching. Notice with me verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself to secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? God says, am I not a God at hand, meaning he's right there? Or am I God far off? We know that God is here. You understand, good preaching, Bible preaching, should make us aware of our own accountability to the Lord. God sees everything you do. And one day you will stand before God and give an account for all of your actions, whether good or bad. that we will all stand before God. We will all give an account. We understand for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will stand at the white throne judgment and be judged for their sins. But for those who did accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, we will stand before God at the at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and we will still give an account, not for sins, but for the actions and the consequences that occurred because of everything that was done in our body. Everything we do, we're going to stand before God and give an account. He sees everything. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky and mean and evil, but you understand this is God who loves us so much. And he wants us to serve him. He wants to use us in special ways. But because of our life, because of our sin that we won't give up, because we refuse to change, and people are not saved, people are repelled away, there's consequences for that. And we'll stand before God and realize what our sin has done and why people haven't got saved because of our inaction. Or to see people who are saved and what has happened because they're saved. You know, those are good things, but everything we do, we're accountable to the Lord for. Everything. And good preaching brings us to our personal accountability to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else, if you don't mind. You guys have listened well. Notice with me in verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff of the wheat? Now here is just a principle discernment that we understand that preaching should be clear in what is God's word and what is not God's word. Meaning that I'm allowed to have an opinion. It should not be the thrust of the message. But I should be able to say, according to the Bible, this is the conclusion I've drawn to. But I should be honest in saying, this is what I believe. This is what I think. I don't have a thus saith the Lord on it, but this is the conclusion I've come to. There's nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong when I mix my opinions and my thoughts with the word and make them seem like one of the same, making it seem like that opinion was God's opinion as well. We want to be very careful on this. That if there's... We want to discern. We need to be very careful on what does the Bible say. And differentiate to this is what I believe. This is what I think. This is what the Bible says. We should have clear discernment on what the Bible says. Notice something else with me in verse number 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. That what we see here is that that we believe that God's word can do its own work. God's word can do its own work. Notice the illustration here. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Notice he didn't say your preaching is like a fire. He said my word. Here's something that helped me a long time ago. God never promised to bless my preaching. He did not. There's nothing I could claim, nothing I could look up and say, God's going to bless my preaching. But he always promised to bless his word. So the more of God's word that's in the preaching, the more I could expect God to do something with it. You understand, it is God's word that does the work. You understand, the most important part of this message is when I started off and I read the text. God's word can do its own work. Let it loose. I don't have to come up with a message. You understand that Bible preaching is easy. I don't have to come up with a message. I just preach what God said. This is what God's word clearly says. You know, it's amazing to hear the Bible courses that are out there. It's amazing to see preachers that have struggled. I remember as a young preacher boy having to sit through another preacher class and heard someone say, well, you know how I get messages is I walk outside and I look for butterflies. And that butterfly inspires me. You understand, a lot of preachers, people think that how preachers get their message is they're walking along just having a good day and lightning strikes them. Preach this, boom, and all of a sudden they got a message. Someone rightfully said that preaching a message is 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration. Meaning there's a lot of work that goes into preaching a message. There's a lot of work that goes to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. People don't like that word in there, a workman. Studying the Bible requires work. But you understand that I still want to get God's permission. God, what do you want me to preach? How do you want me to preach it? But at the end, it's God's word. I just give them God's word. People don't want to hear a message from me. They want to hear a message from God's word. It's the word of God that changes lives. And I can let and I can expect and I can depend that God's word will do its own work. That's one of the greatest things about preaching the way that I do. It takes a lot of work. Was that I could depend on God's word. I don't have to come up with something. I don't have to wait. How many preachers have called over the years on a Saturday night and said, "Pastor, I don't have a message. You got an outline I could borrow?" I've never come to that place in my life where I've had to look for a message on Saturday. I just preach God's word. And if all else fails, just open the Bible anywhere and just preach the Bible. I want to preach in an organized way, but I can expect God's word to do its own work. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. Not your thoughts, not your opinions, not the idea of butterflies. You know, even the message titles. We saw a message title once that said, "This Sunday, French fried kids." Still have no idea. Someone did say maybe it was about the Valley of Tophet, but I doubt it with that type of church. I don't know. But French fried kids. What? We saw a preacher once take a ketchup bottle and preach there and preach the whole message on a ketchup bottle. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Because God's word will do its own work. Trust that God's word will do its own work. Notice, if you don't mind, something else. Notice with me in verse number 34. "And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, 'What is the burden of the Lord?' then thou shalt say unto them, 'What burden? I will forsake you, saith the Lord.' And as for the prophet and the priest," verse 34, "and the people shall say, 'The burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his house.'" Here we see the idea that instead of receiving a word from the Lord, preachers should use God's actual word. That this is what God has laid on my heart. No, we need to preach what the Bible says, which I just got through explaining all that. Preach the word. Just open up the Bible and say, "This is what the Bible says." And let God's word do its own work. Notice something else, if you don't mind. Verse 37. "Thus shall thou say to the prophet, 'What hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken thee?'" We should be looking for what God has spoken. What is God saying in this passage? What is God meaning here? You understand that the whole thing of Bible interpretation, remember in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is given last times by private interpretation. That word "private" means that God did not say, that God meant only one thing by it. That the Bible doesn't mean something to you and it means something different to me. What we should be doing is finding out, what did God mean when he said this? We're finding out, what did God say? Not what does this mean to me, what I think it says. We're trying to find and study and discern, what did God mean when he said it? What did God speak about? That's what Bible preaching does. Now again, this is more informational tonight, because we're just explaining what good preaching is. And by the way, all of us have enough church experience that we've all seen the wrong type of preaching. We've sat in those churches and we've left not filled. We've left empty. We've left saying, "That was a waste." And then we've also been to good, powerful preaching that said, "This is what the Bible said." That when we walk out of here, we're not saying, "What a good message, preacher." We're walking out saying, "What a great God." That's the type of preaching that we should have, is that it brings us closer to the Lord. It brings us to the place where we're saying, "This is what I want." And by the way, one of the desires that I want is that for our church folks here to be so spoiled with Bible preaching that if someone comes up that doesn't preach the Bible, they're not going to be mean, but they're going to say, "I really wished he preached the Bible. That was a good message, but I really wished he preached the Bible." I want to get those folks here so spoiled that they desire, they crave Bible preaching. That even if someone moves off and God moves them off, that they are still look forward. I want Bible preaching. I want people who preach from the Bible and not just their thoughts and opinions, not hot air, not silly things, not jugglers for Jesus or clowns for Christ or weightlifters for the Lord, but they're looking for what the Bible says. And so again, this is informational tonight. So how do you apply this? Well, first of all, look for Bible preaching. Second of all, pray for the Bible preacher. You understand, this is not popular and it is very much under attack. You'd be foolish to think that everyone loves my preaching, because they do not. You'd be foolish to think that there's not people out there that would love to get me to stop preaching the way that I do. And it will only get worse the more that we try to continue on. So if nothing else, pray for your preacher. Pray for your preacher to stay in his Bible, because if I'm not my Bible, I'm no good to any of you, because I can only dig from a well so long. I need to be in the Bible myself. So there's a couple ways you could apply this, but the most important thing that I want you to do is have a desire, a craving for Bible preaching. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.